This is Rosen Institute's Your Law Firm, where Lee Rosen and Ned Days cover management, marketing, finance, and new technologies for building the practice you deserve. Here's Lee Rosen.
It's good to be with you today from Doha, Qatar, where we are going full tourist for a handful of days. We've been to the big souk, the market packed with people at night. We've had Syrian food, Lebanese food, a little bit of Qatari food. We've made it over to the big mosque, which accommodates about 30,000 worshipers. We've done some walking along the beach, some driving out in the desert. We've been hanging out in our room on the 40th floor of a huge tower, and we can look out at all the lights of all the towers surrounding us in Center City. There's a lot more to Qatar than a layover at the airport on the way to somewhere else. This is a great city to visit.
It's time for your tech tip. I realize that this may be hard to believe, but I have at various points in the past been taken advantage of. I am not impervious to hustlers and scammers. When I was still green, I got suckered into unintentionally signing up for some kind of Yellow Pages ad. When I was traveling in Tunisia, I got roped into following some guy around Tunis on an adventure that led to me having to buy $15 of perfume to escape and nearly ended up with a rug I didn't want. There was the unintended $50 shoe shine on my $25 canvas sneakers. I could go on. But I have to confess, the ones that stung the most were those where I was actually entering into the transaction knowingly, but as luck would have it, the price had changed. The camel ride where I was fleeced for an extra $20, the taxi ride where I overpaid by six, and that wretched tuk-tuk SOB who conned me out of two of my hard-earned dollars. The monetary value was inconsequential. I felt just as violated when I was overpaying by $2 as I did by $20. What really stuck in my craw was that I was under the impression the price would be one thing, but the deal changed and it ended up being something else. Now, I realize that some of this is cultural. In some societies, you are expected to haggle and argue, but to me, that just seems barbaric. Tell me the price up front, I'll make an assessment, and I'll pay it. Nice and simple, that's how we do things in America. I look at the price on the shelf, I take it to the register, and that's exactly the price I pay. Except, of course, for that unmentioned sales tax figure, which is usually something awkward and impossible to tally in your head, like 6.5%. My wife tells me that the practice of not including the sales tax in the price is barbaric and feels like a scam, but that's simply because she isn't American, so she doesn't understand how freedom works. The point I'm trying to make is that how we react to pricing is all about perspective. And in the landscape of ceaseless subscriptions and add-ons and upgrades and service tiers, that perspective is the difference between feeling like something is well worth the cost and a total ripoff. One of the first experiences I had with adjusting my perspective was when we started replacing our traditional office space with executive suites. We set up a couple of offices with a big international chain, and we had our monthly rent in writing, but right away it started feeling like we were being nickel and dimed to death. It was like doing business with a Vegas hotel. There was a drink fee, a kitchen fee, fees per page on prints and scans, fees for adding extra devices to the Wi-Fi, fees if we wanted our office listed in the directory at the front of the building, a different fee for the directory at the back of the building, fees for extra office key fobs, and on and on. At first, I was beside myself. When we signed the paperwork, I felt like we had a real bargain on our hands, but that started to slip away. I became an absolute tyrant with associates who wanted to print something at the executive suite or have the staff mail something. But honestly, I was just burning myself up and not making anyone's situation better. So going forward, I just added about 20% to the monthly price of new suites when budgeting what we wanted. That was enough to cover the extra parking passes and kitchen fees and mail handling and whatever other little add-ons popped up. And you know what? It was still worth it, and our attorneys stopped having to worry about me scouring expense reports for a copy they made for a client and fussing at them about it. We can run into this issue just about anywhere. Equipment leases, software subscriptions, hosting charges, you name it. And I'm certainly not encouraging you to give up on being vigilant to make sure you aren't being taken advantage of in the true sense. If you've coughed up $5,000 for a fixed price web or development project and the contractor tells you it's going to cost double, that's a different conversation. But there are lots of tools and services that promise us a steal and then end up padding themselves with an extra fee or two. The questions to ask yourself are, can I get a reasonable idea of what this will cost? If the price is going to fluctuate wildly month to month or week to week, don't waste your time. And if I just build in those extras like I do sales tax when I walk into a store, is it still improving my position? We are often lured in by attractive pricing on a bottom tier when what we really need is the next level up or an add-on service. Or there's a bit of a gotcha somewhere that stings on month one, but you can learn to expect going forward. If the vendor or tool or service is doing what you want it to do, is making your life easier, is delivering on what you and your team and your clients need, sometimes we just need to accept that that's what the tuk-tuk ride cost all along. I'm Ned Days, and that's your tech tip.
And now for your moment of concise advice. Let's talk about hiring summer clerks in your law firm. I spent decades leading a law firm, and I've seen the ins and outs of managing a range of different types of employees, everything from seasoned attorneys to fresh-faced law students. We've had all kinds of folks work in our law firm, and today I want to share a piece of advice with you that might seem counterintuitive to some folks. I think that hiring law students for summer clerkships, it's not often a good idea, especially in a small law firm. Let me explain why. First, let's talk about the short-term nature of these positions. You figure out who you're going to hire. You go through the whole process. You figure out how much to pay. You do lots of interviewing. You pick someone. They pop in. 10 weeks later, they're gone. I will tell you, I've had law students ask to split the summer, 5 weeks with us, 5 weeks with someone else. Well, they're gone before you can even begin to remember their name. But during that 5 weeks or that 10 weeks, you invest time in training and managing. But that investment that you're making, it only pays off if these folks stick around. Summer clerks aren't intended to stick around. Best case scenario, the hope is that maybe you'll offer them a position to return after they graduate. But most of these folks, you spend time and energy on them. They come, they learn a little, and the next thing you know, they're gone. Where are you? Well, you're right back at square one. You get very, very little over the short term. The second thing is this. Let's talk about supervision. Imagine trying to teach someone by throwing them into the deep end of the pool. That's what supervising a law student clerk often feels like. These people, they need constant guidance, reassurance, and oversight. They need a lot of attention. Their lack of practical experience means that you're investing significant time and resources into training them, and there simply isn't an immediate return on investment. I get it. For some of us with these short-timer law student clerks, it's an investment in the profession. It's a noble endeavor. I understand that. But from a business perspective, working with these students, it's like trying to fill a leaky bucket. And then, in addition to all of that, there's the client pushback. Clients today, they are savvy about where their money goes. They're not happy to be paying for the learning curve of a summer clerk. Every billable hour charged by a clerk to a client, that's a point of contention with that client. That has the potential to harm the long-term relationship with the client. Trust me, no client is going to want to feel like they're footing the bill for some law student's education. Now, I'm not saying that hiring summer clerks is all terrible, that it's all a disaster. There are some upsides to hiring summer clerks. They bring a burst of energy into the firm. They bring a fresh perspective. There's also the potential that you'll groom them into becoming a future star in your law firm. Maybe they'll come back next year and go to work for the firm. But let's be realistic. The odds are not in your favor. For me, we had summer clerks over the years, and over 30 years, only one of them ever turned into a long-term, highly valuable associate. Yes, some of them came to our firm, but they didn't stick around for a particularly long time. These are not winning odds. There's this reality that I've noticed that when you do hire these young lawyers, when you are the first employer for them out of law school, they often get lured away from your firm because they perceive greener pastures at other firms. The investment that you make in their training, it ends up benefiting someone else. They're convinced that the hard parts of practicing law are caused by you and your law firm and not by the practice of law. They leave because they need to learn for themselves that it's not your law firm that's making them miserable. It's the practice of law that's making them miserable. So while the idea of nurturing the next generation of lawyers, it's commendable, the reality is that at least in small firms, the summer clerkships often end up being more of a drain on resources than a boon. These law students, they're expensive. They require a disproportionate amount of attention, and the likelihood of a long-term payoff, well, it's really slim. The bottom line is that if you're running a law firm and you're considering hiring a summer clerk, I encourage you to think twice. Weigh the pros and the cons carefully. Remember, every management decision, it should align with the long-term vision and the sustainability of your firm. Look at whether this summer clerk relationship is going to pay off for the business. Sometimes the very best thing you can do to contribute to the profession is to focus on building a strong, stable, efficient team rather than trying to be a stepping stone for someone else's career. That's your moment of concise advice. Wrapping up from Doha, thanks for spending a few minutes with me and Ned today. We hope you have a great weekend and an even better week next week. Keep plugging away, moving forward, getting things done. You're on the right track. You'll get there. I promise. We're all in this together, and together we build better practices through better marketing, better management, and better technology. Until next time, I'm Lee Rosen.
Thanks for listening to Your Law Firm. Visit rosensrules.com for our free course on the 10 critical rules successful law firms follow.